Well, that's not too bad for practicing over the phone. Although one time, this is one of the first times we practiced this, we've never sung it together, and we were at a deal with our sister-in-law's mother, her birthday, and we were in the restroom because it was one of the only places you could plug in the old thing. And so, Marianne will appreciate this. You can tell this story if you want. We're singing, and I will glory in the cross, flush. Yeah. The great trio of history. Cracked me up. Now that's going to tickle Kim, and she's going to laugh through the whole sermon. Just like she laughed through her whole wedding vows. And then I told him that was the for worst part. Anyway, Dave is going to put a picture up here, and you're all staying for lunch anyway, so don't worry about the time. Okay. Actually, this will be short. If you can see it, it's a little difficult, but I was walking up around just, you know, praying over the grounds and things like that. And I come up around this area coming into the building, and on either side is the road around the tree. And it forms a Y. And I was looking at it. And the same question came to me that came to Admiral Stockdale at the beginning of the vice presidential debate in 1992. He said, "Who am I?" I didn't say that because I know who I am. But he said, "Why am I here?" Now, unfortunately for him, it became comedy instead of a national remedy. But why am I here? Do you believe God has reasons? He has a reason. He has an order to life. It's important to understand it. So I'm going to spell out the word why. W-H-Y. Okay? And I want you to think about this. The first one, this is a double header, worship and the Word. Worship and the Word. Do you know that you cannot separate them? Because if you do, if all you have, not that the Word isn't wonderful, but if you have the Word without a real worship experience, you have the tendency to legalism. And if you have worship without the steadiness of the Word of God, you have a tendency to fanaticism. And the Bible wants us to be what? Balanced in the things of God. And so he's going to put the scripture up there, which again I changed, so Exodus is not it. It's a great scripture. I'll preach it else another time. Psalm 149, please stand to honor the word of God. And may the praise of God be in their mouths, and a double-edged sword in their hands. The praise of God be in their mouths, and a double-edged sword in their hands. You may be seated. The Bible says the high praises of God to be in their mouth. High praises in the Hebrew is one word. And as we go down through this, for those of you that are not here normally, I do have the words up there in Hebrew, some of them, for those that like to study it and to spend a little more time with it. This word, romima, means to be uplifting and arising from within. Praise is not something you can get from the worship team. Did you know that? It needs to come from within, your relationship to Christ. And the other thing, if you look in the word praise, because praise is also one of the words, there's a word inside praise, and it's the word raise. True worship will raise you up. It will lift you up. And we don't just worship on Sunday mornings. We should be worshipers of God, no matter where we are. So our spirits are lifted. As the book of Romans tells us, you sacrifice, you surrender your life to God, which is your worthy service to him. That's imperative. So imperative. Because this portion, it says the high worship of God. The Hebrew name of God here is El, which is the one and only true God. It is the nature of God himself, and it is his holiness. And then the first verse, it says to praise the Lord. And the name for God in the first word, in the first verse, is Yahweh. It is the covenant name of God to his people. And for those of you that are listening week to week, you know that that is Jesus, second person of the Godhead. He said, I am that I am that I am. He is the God of the second person. And so here what we have is we have the Father lifting up the Son, and we have the Son lifting up the Father. And in different portions in the scripture, the Spirit lifts up Jesus. They all work together to lift each other up. And that's what we're supposed to do. May the high praises of God, of El, be in your mouth. The Hebrew word garon here means in your neck and your throat. It means not just a simple, glib way of worshiping, but it comes down deep. It's throaty. It comes all the way down within you. It's extremely important. He said, and a double-edged sword in your hand. How many of you are good with knives? How many have a lot of cuts on your fingers? Okay. Well, the Hebrew word here for double-edged sword, harib, means a weapon of war. Does it seem inconsistent to you that at one point you can be worshiping and at the same point you're really in a warfare? But that's what worship and living a Christian life is warfare. There's no question about it. The double-edged sword is the sword that on either end will stab you if it's not handled correctly. That's why the book of Ephesians says it's the sword of the Spirit. The Spirit is really the one that wields it and works it. He just uses us. And in this double edge, which is the Hebrew word piphia, it means double-edged, two edges, and it comes from a word peya, which means tooth. Tooth. How many love dentists? I can walk by a dental office and get a cavity. I mean, really. We're supposed to chew the word of God. We're supposed to chew the cud. We're supposed to eat it up. That's what it's talking about. It is saying that double-edged. And by the way, when you're worshiping and you're focusing on who God is, the one edge glorifies God and the other one punctures the devil. That's what the word is supposed to do. It is supposed to, on the one hand, exalt the Father, and the second one, give the devil a run for his money. And he should be feeling it right about now, hopefully. Double-edged sword in your hand. The Hebrew here means an open hand. Now, if you have a sword or anything in your hand and it's open, it's going to fall out, isn't it? Unless, of course, you're in the hand of God. Then he hangs on to it. We cannot receive or share the word of God with a closed fist because you get nothing and you give nothing. You're all tight. You're not really receiving what God has for you. So we need to keep an open hand. And in the book of Revelation, one of the best books of the Bible, first chapter, 16th verse, it's talking about the Son of Man. And when they see him, the double-edged sword is out of his mouth. He is the originator. He is the authority. It is his name. And it comes out of him. And aren't you glad? We're using his name. We have been given, in the greatest sense, his name. So why am I here? The word and worship. And personally, I'm not going to cheapen out on either of them. I don't believe in that. I want a balance. I want a sense of balance in my life and in the church. Secondly, H is for holiness and healing. A lot of people come for prayer meetings and for evangelistic meetings to get healed, which is wonderful. God heals. But a lot of people are looking for healing separate from a relationship to God, and that is not God's best. Holiness and healing. How many times have you seen through the scripture where it said, go thy way and sin no more? You are healed of your affliction. There's a connection between the holiness and the purity of God and a relationship with him, as well as that healing that comes from that. And the word in Proverbs 3, 5 to 8, which we've quoted so many times, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lead not in thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. And it will be healing to your bones. Everyone wants the healing first, The healing comes through the process of following. And the healing here, the Hebrew rifuth means healing, but it comes from the word Rapha, which is one of the divine names of God. I am the Lord that healeth thee. It's in the present tense. The divine names was a great study Brett and I did 100 years ago. We don't look that old, but long time ago. And it's important. And here's the reason. Because when you're thinking about healing, remember the first two letters, H-E, he. It's really about him. Always think of him first. Because you never lose by putting your focus on him, as opposed to your need. And secondly, healing is not as much what God does. Did you know that? It's really who he is. It's more knowing him than it is him doing it for you or for me. And the Bible says it'll be refreshment to your body. Now, I know you're thinking cake and cookies, okay? But refreshment here, shikuki, means to have drink and moisture in those brittle bones. It means there's a softening. God heals. God strengthens the bones. Only the Lord can do that. It is a reminder that apart from a relationship to him, just to get a gift from him is not enough, because he's the gift. He truly is the gift. So W is the word and the worship. H is holiness and healing. What's the why? The why is you. If I could have everybody and give everybody an award and state how precious you all are to me, well, we'd just be here for a year from now, maybe later. So I couldn't do it, but I would love to do it. I really would. And I hope that daily and weekly, I do share that with each one in different ways, that you all know how precious you are. And I hope that you know that. And if the devil tells you otherwise, tell him it's not his house. Okay? It's none of his business, because he's wrong. Why did God bring me here? Because he's got things inside of me that he's prepared for you. But by the same token, he's got things inside of you that he's prepared for me. In the Wesleyan Church, they believe very strongly in the balance of the pulpit and the pew and the voice that comes forth from both. This is not a one-person show, unless it's God doing the work. He's the one that does the real work. But you are what makes all the difference. The minute I came into this church, and some of you weren't here yet, but God knew you were coming, I could tell immediately, this is a fabulous church. And I've told the district and I've told the interview people a million times how wonderful this church is. Because you know what happens? I remember many years ago, I was telling some lady about somebody, and I was very enthused, apparently. And she came back to me later and she said, you know, I never saw that person that way. And now they've been married for 40 years. They need to see on our face how wonderful Jesus is. And then they'll ask about him. Okay. Why am I here? For you. Why are you here? For me. And I believe together God will melt us together for his glory and do a wonderful work. Because God knows something we don't know. I can tell you, when Cy was announcing me preaching back when I was in Bible school, and I have to tell this story because it kills me. He goes, this is one thing, you know, where you think your inside voice, should it stay inside or outside? But anyway, he said, well, she's an unusual person. I took it positive because I've never known Cy to say a negative thing. So I thought it was probably positive. But I agreed. I am bizarre and I am more different and I understand that. And my family will agree with you with a smile on their face. But I'm so glad. Why did he bring me here? Because he loves me. And he knew without knowing all of you, my life wouldn't be complete. So I'm very grateful. So we're going to pray. And then we're going to sing, Savior, the Great Shepherd, lead us. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this service. I thank you, Lord, for each one that is here. And for those that couldn't be here, Lord, you know that they're in our heart. Lord God, because a true shepherd will count the people that are here, but mostly they know the people that aren't, that have missed it, that have not come back into the pen. Lord, and I pray, Lord, that you would be glorified through this church and through each one here, no matter what our life is and no matter what circumstances are around us. Lord, that we would worship you, we would know your word, we would seek your holiness, we would live in that, and out of that will come the healing so that we can be strong and we can do your will. Lord, I pray for each one here. I pray your special touch on Bobby Lucan today, that you would touch him with healing. Touch Mark Kohanic, heal him, Lord, we pray, and Tracy. And touch, Lord Jesus, all that need your personal touch, because it's not what you do, it's who you are that matters. And I thank you, Lord, that each one of us count to you. We matter to you. So bless each, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand for Save You Like a Shepherd Lead Us. And I also want to acknowledge that who snuck in, Debbie Scott, who is over here, just standing in that lovely red hair. Her mother was Maida DeBoer, who attended the church when it came over on the Mayflower. And but anyhow, it's just lovely to see you, Deb. Thanks for showing up. And let's sing Great Hymn. Dave, to come up. And he's going to make an announcement and close in prayer. It's a little longer than normal, but God's not watching the clock, so let's not watch it. Okay, I'm going to quit looking at it.
I made the announcement when you were gone.
Oh.
But what it was is you and your family and friends are to go first, then the people that are have special needs, wheelchairs, things like that, go next. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we really thank you for Pastor Gene, for Living Springs, for all the people that make this place special. We ask that you would continue to bless us, help us to bless others as they come in, and bless this food now to our body's use, and help us to live for you in all that we say and do, and come back to your house. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please, everybody sit down. We have a special presentation for Pastor Gene at this moment.
Pastor's survival kit. So if Pastor Gene will come forward, Jan is going to present. Yes.